Prepare for Christ's return. Prepare. Is it okay? For Christ's return. Okay. Yeah. Amen. I asked my sweetheart this morning as we were coming in, going down the road, I proposed this thought to her. And I said, see how peaceful and calm it is? It's going up, you know. Drove Prather heading this way. I said, an hour from now, it could be total chaos. Mm-hmm. Total chaos. And again, I prepare in a lot of different ways. One of the ways I prepare, and sometimes I don't strategically do this, but it always seems to happen. Especially as of late, turn on YouTube, and I seem to gravitate to things that our lesson is talking about. You know, different ministries and teachings and everything, those sorts of things. So I've been watching some stuff this past week that's really helped me hit it home. I'm not going to go into all of that, but I'm just saying that Paul was saying here, don't be getting ready. Don't think about, are you ready? He said, be ready. Amen? He said, be ready. Hallelujah. A quote that's often attributed to Ben Franklin, amen, goes something like this. You probably heard this, amen. It says, nothing is certain except death and taxes. Not sure if he said that, but he's the one they normally say, is the one that spoke those things. Well, that is certainly true, but that's really for the unbeliever. Because there's some other certainties that we have that we can look forward to. Past death, amen, praise the Lord, and definitely past taxes, amen. For the believer in Christ, our ultimate hope is not in this world.
Amen.
We're not worried about debt. I ain't gonna talk about the taxes. We're not believers. The last thing that we should be worried about is death. And that's what this message is going to talk about, amen, is for we as saints, we have a better hope than the non-believer.
Amen.
And our hope is anchored not in some wishful thinking, not in some, you know, la la da la da. No, no, no. Our hope is anchored in Christ Jesus.
Yes, yes.
Amen. That's what Paul is expressing in this letter to the Thessalonians. Amen. He says, prepare for Christ's return. Titus 2:13, awaiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Prepare for Christ's return. Sorrow mixed with hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. To me, this last part, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. That's why, amen, when a saved loved one passes from this life into the other, it should be a celebration and not a sorrow fest. Yes, our hearts are grieved. Yes, we're going to miss them. Yes, we love them. And we're sorry that they're not here with us. But our hope, amen, is that, amen, I'm going to go where they're going.
Yes.
Amen. Why? Because they know, or we should know, amen, that when we pass from this life, it's not over. In so many ways, it's just beginning. We pass from this life, amen, because our hope is anchored in Christ Jesus because we have trusted in him. Hallelujah. We have an opportunity to see the Lord and just simply say, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
We have a blessed hope, saints. It says mixed with sorrow. not just concerning the believer, but for the non-believer. That's where the heavy heart really comes. Because we as believers know the realization what is before them now. Because what? They didn't accept Jesus Christ. You heard me say last week that Jesus is the answer to every question. What about Jesus is the answer? What Jesus is, whatever it is from A to Z, Jesus is the answer. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brother, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. You see, the church, amen, they will be going through this time, amen, this sorrow because they were weary, amen, that their brother that had passed away wasn't going to be through. They were under the impression, they were under the understanding, amen, that you had to be living and breathing on this side of life in order to meet the Lord. And so when Paul became aware of this, amen, he writes this letter to them to encourage them, to let them know, amen, that you have a blessed hope. You don't have to be breathing because he's already risen. He's yet alive. So since he's alive, your hope is in Christ Jesus. Don't worry about them. The Lord got it. If they have believed on his name, if they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're okay. Matter of fact, they're better than okay. Amen. They're better off than we are.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And so Paul is writing this letter to encourage them, to let them know, amen, I understand your grief. I understand your sorrow. I understand your sadness. But I understand something. Don't be so sad about that because they're in the hands of Jesus. All of us have suffered loss. All of us, amen, I'm sure have lost a loved one, a friend, someone, amen, that we knew. And they were not in Christ Jesus. They were not saved. They were not a child of the King. That's the sadness that as Christians that we should carry for those. They made their choice. But for those that have believed, for those that have believed. Amen. The loss of loved ones brings a sorrow that reaches the soul. But for Christians, that sorrow is not without hope. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Thessalonian church, addresses a grieving congregation with a profound truth. I would not have you to be ignorant. I swear, I'm falling in love all over again with the way Paul writes. Tell me, he says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them which are, he don't say dead. You see what he says, right? Asleep. That's why he says we have a what? A living hope. Not a dead hope. Not a disappearing hope. But a living hope. Hallelujah. He says, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others, which what? Have no hope. See again, there go them peculiar folks, them Christians. There they go again. They look like they're having a good time, and didn't Brother Jay, did he die? Ain't that what they there for? And they look like they're having a good time. How come they not hollering and screaming? Y'all seen some of those situations. And I'm not trying to put fun at that, amen. But I'm just saying that our response should be 100% diametrically different than the non-believer. Why? Because we have a living hope in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Yes.
Romans 15, 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. So not only should we, amen, be, to use the term, glad about it, but we should have a peace about it. Why? We know where they're going. They're going where we say we want to be. So we should have a peace. Think about it. All the chaos is going on in this world. And now a saint has met the Lord. Where do you think they want to be? Here? I mean, they love you. They love us. But if they had to tell us face to face, I love you, but I got to go back. Why? Because they're in the bosom of the Lord. They're in the peace. They're in the presence of the living hope. Amen?
Yes.
And the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace, and believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Abound in hope. Just be filled up with it. Be totally surrounded with hope. Don't let fear, don't let doubt, don't let unbelief, don't let sorrow, grief, cause you to give up on the living hope. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:3, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. From what? From the dead. Hallelujah. So, amen. So Paul goes on, amen. He wants to give them encouraging words. 1 Thessalonians 14-18. Amen. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep. Now we hear that word again, sleep. Sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. In other words, I'm not telling you because I think this. I'm not telling you this because, you know, it sounds good and I thought it might impress you. But I'm telling you this by what? The word of the Lord. In other words, he's saying, this is what the Lord himself has said to us. Amen. That we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. So they rested. They rested. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. Here's the good part. And the dead, all of that's good, amen. But the dead in Christ will rise first. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We should be encouraging one another, amen. In those times of doubt, those times of worry, those times of concern, hallelujah. Because I'm telling you, we are living, hallelujah, and I know I'm speaking to the choir, but we are living in concerning times. Amen. One reason I mentioned, tossed that question out to my sweetheart this morning about the peace, as we're going down the road, how wonderful it was, and how things within an hour could be total chaos. Is because I see the signs. I hope you do. I see the signs. Everything's in place. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but understand, and that's why Paul wrote this. One of the reasons he wrote this to them, amen. Understand, amen, that we as saints that remain while our loved ones have went on, hallelujah. There's gonna be some chaos, there's gonna be some persecution. Before the Lord comes back and get us. So we're gonna have to, and that's why the Bible says, what? To those that what? Endure. If it was all gonna be peaches and cream and everything, the Lord would not have used the word endure. You don't have to endure peace. You ever heard of enduring peace? You don't have to endure, you know, good times. Hallelujah. And so that lets me know, that's just one, but that lets me know that the church, the believers in Christ, are going to go through something for whatever period of time, amen, until the Lord returns. So we need to endure. And how are we going to endure? One of the ways we're going to endure is understand, amen, that our hope is in Christ Jesus. Remember, the word of God never said that we as believers will not go through anything. Never said that we wouldn't face persecution. It says, how in the world is that going to be possible? Hallelujah. When all through history, the church has had to endure. All through history, amen, the church has had to stand on the word by faith of the living God. Many lost their lives because they wouldn't bend the knee to this world. And so, Paul understanding those things, not just writing to them, but writing to us in this time, and he says, hallelujah, understand that the Lord is going to come. Don't give out. Don't give in. Hallelujah. He said, then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. We're going to meet the Lord in the air.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. We're going to have a time of celebration. But amen, we got to hold on, hold out, and don't give up or give out. Amen. We have to endure, amen, whatever the world's bringing. We don't even have to go through it and name different things. It doesn't make a difference. But whatever it is that the church is going to have to go through, when we go, and understand, it's not going to be pretty. I will say that. It's not going to be nice. It's not going to be okay. Well, it's going to be hard. You're not going to be able to buy no food, get no gas, turn on electricity. If your house isn't paid for, you might get kicked out of your home. And if it is paid for, the devil going to do whatever he can to pressure you to do what? To bend the knee to this world. And the sad part about it, and just to use a term, just going to be the devil and his imps and all the ungodly people. It's going to be people you love. Brothers and sisters.
Yes.
Aunts and uncles, grandmas and granddads, cousins and uncles that have not believed on the name of Jesus Christ, they already sold out to the world. Now they're going, oh, girl, you might as well just go and give in. I mean, come on. How you going to eat? When your food run out, what you going to do? It don't even hurt. What's the matter with you? You crazy? And then when we don't do it, yeah. Now, my dad, he's one of them. He's one of the haters. He's one of the troublemakers, yeah. Yeah, this is his address. That's what's going to be happening. And so with all that going on, you got to know that you 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 know. Harry, that you know you got to get until you understand without any doubt that Jesus Christ is our our Lord and our Savior.
Yes.
Hallelujah. If we have believed in Jesus, we know that those who have died in Christ have eternal life and that they are with him. Let us be reminded that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Encourage yourselves. Encourage each other. Paul reveals something, amen, when he says to believers that those who are alive and remain when he returns will not rise before those who have died in Christ. Amen. Remember, the church is discouraged. They're worried, they're concerned that because they didn't understand at that time, amen, that though they had passed on in this physical life, it's all right. Jesus got it. Amen. So he was trying to encourage them to let them know. Don't worry yourself about that. The Lord got them, but he got you too. Amen. Matter of fact, when the Lord brings all this stuff together, they're going to meet him before you do. And then, but right after they do, then you're going to meet him face to face. Mm-hmm. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. You know, we refer to that, you all know, as the rapture. Amen. And that word is Latin, simply means caught up. The certainty of this resurrection is sure. The certainty of this resurrection is what? Anchored in Christ Jesus. Why is it anchored in him? Because he was the first of the new church to rise from the dead. And because he has, we will. You hear that? That's our hope. That's our anchor. What do you say? No. Jesus rose from the dead. I believe in Jesus. So if you go from the dead, and he's not a man that he should lie, and everything he has ever spoken has come to pass, why would I doubt now? In the time time of pressure and the time, amen, of controversy, the time, amen, of chaos that's going on in the world all around us, amen, why would I give up on my blessed hope now? Because of the great joy and hope that these words provided, Paul exhorts the church to encourage one another with these words. God will resolve the problem. He's going to resolve the issue, amen, of death and separation. Matter of fact, he's already solved it, but sometimes we just don't realize it. Because see, when Jesus rose on the third day, at that point, I think it was Carmen. I don't know if you ever remember Carmen. Years ago, he used to go to Bill. He was ahead of his time in the way he was doing it. But he did a video that basically tells that story. When Jesus dies on the cross, and they put him in the cave, amen, and the devil and all of them, they partying and having a good time. So we got him, yeah. And then that third day, and the devil realized in the video and in real life that when Jesus rose, it was over. He knew he was defeated. The devil spends a lot of time simply trying to do one thing, to get us to doubt the truth of the resurrection. He spends a lot of time, amen, wanting us to look on, believe on something else other than Jesus Christ. Because he knows, even if so many so-called Christians don't know, he knows that Jesus is real.
Mm-hmm.
He knows, amen, that he is defeated. He knows, amen, that those that believe on Christ Jesus, he has no power, he has no authority over. And that even if they die in this life with Jesus on their side, should I say, them, us being on the side of Jesus, we win.
Yes.
He already understands that. And so Paul is trying again to encourage the church. Understand something, my brother. Amen. Don't worry about your life on this side being lost, because it's not lost. He says, you win if you're in Christ Jesus. Too many times we're caught up, amen, in the carnal understanding of life and death. But remember, we're supposed to have a new mind. That means we're supposed to have a new understanding. Our understanding doesn't come from the world, but it comes by way of heaven, by way of the Holy Ghost, amen, by word of the Lord, that, amen, we are different. We see different, we hear different, we live different, we understand differently. Why? Because we understand by way of the Holy Spirit that we win as long as we stay in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And let me just emphasize this for those that will see this later, that not mm-hmm. under the sound of my voice, winning in Christ is not going to church all the time. Winning in Christ is not, well, I've never missed a time. Winning in Christ is, well, I'm a preacher. I've been preaching for the Lord for 20 years. Winning is not even, well, I sing in the choir. I need to praise him. That's not winning. You can do none of those things but have Christ Jesus in your heart, have believed on him, you win. If it was about those other things, we wouldn't change our lives. Because there's a whole lot of folks in the church that do those things I just mentioned. There's no more saved than this piece of paper. No more in Christ Jesus than this piece of paper. I saw a statistic. I read a statistic. Amen. From George Burnham. I don't know if y'all familiar with him. For years, when I first stumbled upon his research, amen, I'm just blown away by what he finds. This one blew me away. In this day, the percentage of ministers, people teaching or preaching in the pulpit, Christians, so-called Christians, that actually believe the Bible, 82% of folks that's doing that don't. 82%. That's you know, Barnabas says, you don't know. That's them professing what they do or don't believe. You can go look at George Barnum and look at research concerning the church and ministry and all those